All right. So here's where we are. The last couple of weeks of Ignite, we've been answering some questions about who God is. And the first night, we talked about how big is your God. Right. So we answered that question. How big is God? Or at least we tried to. We gave a small answer to a really big question. The second question that we did last week was... What? No, it's not what we did last week. Yeah! Is God really good? So we talked about that. And what conclusion did we come to? I hope we didn't come to that conclusion. What conclusion did we come to last week? He's got to be completely good, right? All good. He has to be all good. Otherwise, he's just like us. If he's part bad, then he's like you and me, right? There's only one person who's all good, and that's God. Okay, today's question. Can you guess what it is? Cheater! She's reading the small group stuff. Yes, that's the question. Does God care about me? Okay, everybody focus your attention up here. Okay, young, little people, especially. You guys tend to have the most problem with this. But sorry for calling you little people. I just came out, sorry. But if you guys could pay attention up here, this is the question. Does God really care about me, and does God really care about you? Okay? That's the question we're going to ask. Did any of you guys ever ask that question? That's it? Yeah, I've asked that question a lot, believe me. In fact, okay, little people, remember, focus. The question is, it's alright. I understand what it's like to be a teenage boy. I was one once. The question is, does God care about me? Okay, here's the problem. I think all of us at some point, some of you may not have got to this point yet, but what's that? Okay, thank you. Sweet, we have like tattletale back there. Shut up. Okay, where were we now? Okay, here's the problem I think that most of us struggle with. Is that we have a problem believing. So, first of all, we might agree, okay, God is a big God. He's huge, he's bigger than all the forces of evil. He's way bigger than like the movies portray him to be, including the movie Bruce Almighty, since that's what we've been watching clips from. By the way, Bruce Almighty is not an actual picture of who God is. We're using some clips, tidbits from this movie to help us with some of the aspects of God. But in the overall movie, that's, you know, they go all over the place. But so don't believe everything you hear in the movies or see in the movies. So we may believe that God is really big. We may get that and go, yeah, God is huge. We may even believe that God is good, okay? And, you know, after last week, some of you guys may have changed your mind, because I know some of you guys weren't sure if God was good. But through your small group discussion and through our talk last week, I think lots of you actually did come to the conclusion that maybe God is really all good, and there's no bad in Him, there's no evil, there's no dark side to God. So here it comes. You may believe those two things. But what does it matter if God is big and if God is good if He doesn't care about me? Okay? That's the question. And that's where we struggle. Okay? This is the biggest struggle. Because we keep evaluating who God is by our experience. So we have some bad experiences, we're in some bad situations, things go wrong, our parents split up, somebody close to us is really hurt or is killed or dies somehow. And we start wondering, okay, God, you know, why am I going through all this pain? And I look at my friends and they seem to be happy and have it all together. Why me? Why am I going through this struggle? Why am I going through these problems? And sometimes it's hard to think that God really cares when we see the world. You guys agree with me? You guys ever kind of look at the news and go, I don't know if God really cares about this world, because there's an awful lot of terrible things happening. You guys ever think that? Yeah. There we go. I do too. I actually think about that sometimes. Like, God, do you really care? If you care, why is all this bad stuff happening? And sometimes to really good people, terrible things happen. What's up with that? Why doesn't God fix my problems? If God is so big and if God is so good, why do I have to have all this pain inside? Why do I have to go through all this hardship? Why do I have to fight with my parents all the time? Whatever it is. Why? Why did God let someone do something nasty to me? All right, we're going to go through a couple misconceptions of who we think God is. See, here at the basis of some of these questions is some misconceptions that we see in God. First of all, we see God as an abusive or flawed father, an earthly father. So you guys ever seen the movie Friday Night Lights? Well, there's a kid in there who is one of the football players, and he tries his hardest every game. Every single game tries his hardest. And all he wants to go home to is to go home and hear his dad say, "Good job, son. Well done." You can see it in the movie. He talks about it, and he just really wants his dad to say, "Good job." But you know what? Every time, no matter how good the game is, his dad doesn't give him any credit, doesn't say good job. All he does is point out all the stuff he did wrong. Like, it's brutal. And then this kid is just dying for his dad just to say, "Good job." So it actually, the scene or the movie kind of ends. This guy, he makes this incredible effort. It's the last game of the season. It's for the win. And he doesn't make it. And he breaks tackles. He just goes as hard as he can. And he's like inches from the line when he's brought down. And in the movie, you're thinking, oh, he's going to do it. And on the way home, his dad just ripping into him. And just telling him all the stuff that he's done wrong. That, you know, you could have tried harder. You could have done better. You could have one more inch. You could have worked harder. And this guy, like, he struggled for, like, there was no way. There was, like, guys all over him. And he was just going. And he just blew up. And he's like, "Dad, all I want to hear from you is good job, that you're pleased with me." And his dad had played in years before, and they had championship rings. So his dad always expected his son to bring home this championship, and he didn't. It was this last year, that last time when he fell short by like a few inches. And his dad would always compare him to the way he was, and he could never measure up. And sometimes we think God's like that. Sometimes we think that we can never measure up to what God wants for us and wants us to act like. We think that he's like just a bad dad up there who's just waiting for us to screw up. And when we come to him all excited about how good we've done, and he goes like, "What about this? You know, look where you screwed up here." And we get this picture of God, and it's not a true picture. That's not what God is like. The other misconception that we might have is that God is like this absent father or this kind of cosmic force way out there that he's not personal. Okay, this is totally linked to the question we're asking. Because the reason why we don't feel like God cares is because of these two kinds of misconceptions. That God is really far away. He's just a force that's kind of started the world, created it, and then just kind of let it go. And it's, you know, it's headed for destruction kind of deal. It's killing itself. And we keep thinking that, well, you know what, God is so far away, how could he possibly care about me? Okay, so there's these two things that really control who we think God is. And both of these things are false. Both of these things are not the way that God is. In fact, God is the exact opposite. He's not the dad that just wants to point out your flaws. In fact, there's a parable in the Bible. A parable is a story from Jesus. And Jesus tells this story. And at the end of the story, the words of God to the faithful servant, you don't need to go into the story, but this is what he says. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's the picture we have of who God is. He's the guy that says, "Well done, great job. So you didn't make the touchdown. You were a couple inches short. Great effort. Good job." That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that we know. Okay, we're going to see a clip in a minute. But first of all, we're going to read Read from the Bible. Actually, you know what? Let's read from the Bible second. Let's watch the clip, because it directly relates to what we've just been talking about. So, here's what we're talking about. A lot of us, when we think that God should fix our life, we're thinking at, like Bruce Almighty was at the start of the movie. And if you've seen the movie, when he gets the powers, like God gives him the powers, everything he does is for himself. Every single thing, every act that he uses the power for, is for himself. And it's at that point that he actually starts doing something for someone else. And you see him sorting through pictures. Well, that was something that Grace, his girlfriend, wanted him to do a long time ago. And then what's really significant, and I want you guys, this is the image that I want you guys to take away today, is God is always with us. He's always there. And in a minute, we're going to talk about why he cares so much for us. But if you could just take this statement for what it is for right now. God cares about us so much that he doesn't leave us alone. He's always there for us. If we choose to be his followers, if we want God to be in our lives, he'll flood into our lives. And you'll notice the guy with the broke down car. He could, you know what? God could have snapped his fingers and boom, that car would have started up and away that guy. He could have fixed the problem. But what did he do? I think this is kind of one time that Hollywood got it right. God didn't try to fix the car and snap, make everything better. Because that's what Bruce Almighty had been trying to do. He'd been trying to fix everything and it just went crazy. He actually stepped out of his own car, went and helped the guy push the car to the side of the road. See, that's a significant image because this is what happens when you have trouble and pain and hardship. God comes to you, and if your life is that car, he helps you get it out of the traffic, off the road. And the difference with that is that because God isn't just trying to fix our life. He's not trying to fix our situation so everything happens good. See, God wants to fix us. And there's a problem in us, and it's called sin. He wants to fix it. And in a minute, we're going to go through what God did to fix that problem. So he's not interested in just fixing these little things that are happening in your life. Because he cares about you too deeply to worry about all these little... Not to worry. That's a bad way to say it. He doesn't want to fix these details for you because he knows it won't be good for you. He knows that through this hardship and through the trials and the pain that happens, that when you reach out for God, that good things will happen, that you will grow stronger. So here's how much God cares for us. Really quickly, in a big long story, shortened as much as possible. God creates people, humans. And what do the humans do? They reject him. They disobey him. They say, you know what, we're going to go our own way. We don't believe what you said is true. God told them not to eat of the fruit of this one tree, and they did anyway. It was the only thing he told them not to do. Of all the things he could have, you know, not to do, he only told them not to do one thing. And of course, they did it. God was greatly grieved. He was very sorrowful because he made us. He created us. In fact, he was so, when he was making us, he was so proud of us that he made us in his own image, which is very cool. I mean, think about that for a second. Made in the image of God. That's a very cool thing. So right away, God put into action a plan. And this plan was to save us. Because when we sinned, when we rejected God, what happened is that we were separated from God. Sin came in and screwed up our relationship with God. Before that, our relationship with God was awesome. It was perfect. But when sin entered us, and when we start disobeying God, it destroyed that relationship. And so God set in motion a plan. Now we'll fast forward a little bit to a man, like a lot, to a man named Jesus. Jesus grew up in a little Jewish community. We're given the law from Moses. You guys may not know who Moses is. Most of us have heard who Moses is. And they were expected to follow this certain code. We actually talked about this last year. We had this big thing on the code. You guys remember that? But what happened was, is that Israel rejected God. They were His people. He chose them. He adopted them, or He created them as His people. He chose this one guy named Abraham, and from Abraham came the Jews, and they were God's people. And Jesus was a Jew, and He grew up as a Jew. And then as he grew up, he was about 30 years old, he started teaching. And there was something about this guy that people would flock to him. They'd listen to him. He had incredible words. And not only that, he would heal the sick. He even raised a couple of dead people to life. I mean, everywhere he went, cool stuff happened. And not only cool stuff happened, his words were incredible. People had never heard anybody speak like this man spoke. Well, the religious leaders of the day did not like that. In fact, they were very jealous of Jesus. And they made it their goal to destroy this man. They wanted to bring him down. And see, they lived in a world where Rome was the world power. And in order to kill somebody, you had to go to the Roman authorities and ask. Because you weren't allowed, as a nation, under the rule of Rome, to make that decision for yourself. Only Caesar could. So, they took Jesus. They arrested him. They tricked him. Well, they didn't trick him. But they got one of his disciples to betray him. And they took him to this Roman governor and asked the Roman governor if they could crucify him. Now, the Roman governor, his name was Pilate. And he talked to Jesus. He said, well, bring this guy forward. I want to see what's up with him. So he talks to Jesus. And he brings him out. And he's like, he had never talked to a guy like this before. He says, what in the world are you guys thinking? I don't find anything wrong with this guy. Why do you want to kill him? And the people, just the religious leaders, just angrily said, crucify him, crucify him. So eventually, Pilate gave in to their demands and said, okay, I'll tell you what. I will give you the choice of releasing a prisoner. There's a guy called Barabbas. He's a murderer, a thief. He's a bad dude. And there's Jesus. Which one do you choose? And the religious leaders all together said, Barabbas, give us Barabbas. We want to kill this guy. All because of Jesus' teaching. All because of that they were incredibly jealous of this amazing man. So anyway, Jesus took it. And we find out that this wasn't just any ordinary man. Jesus was the Son of God. And He took it. And it says in the Bible that at any time, Jesus could have called like thousands and thousands of angels to come to His rescue and destroy the Romans that were crucifying Him, or the religious leaders. But He chose not to. He endured the pain. And you guys, I don't know if you've ever read up about crucifixion or anything like that, but it was the most painful death possible from the Romans. It was torture. This is how the Romans tortured people. This is how the Romans taught nations that rebelled against them a lesson, so that nobody would rebel against them. Because they would line the roads with people crucified, and sometimes it would take days to die. Because it's horrible. They nail you to this big cross, this big piece of wood. And it's not like nice smooth wood. I was going to say you get slivers, but I mean that's the smallest little bit of information. But when they drop this big cross into the ground, and when they drop it, all your bones dislocate. And so what happens is, in order to breathe, you have three nails in you. You have a nail through both your feet, or ankles, and you have a nail through your wrists, and you're on the cross. Now, in order to breathe, you got to push up on the nail that's nailed you to the wood. You actually have to put all the pressure on in order to take a breath. And then in order to release, you have to take the pressure off your feet and put all the pressure on the nails in your wrists, like big, huge spikes through your wrists, so that you can breathe out. This is the death that Jesus chose to die. And you might be wondering now, okay, you just told us a real, crazy story. Why? Why in the world would Jesus, if he was the Son of God, why would he die? Why wouldn't he just send angels upon angels and just destroy everything in sight and say, hey, I'm God. See that? See what happened? Yeah. So he could save us for our sins. But more importantly than that, because he loved us so much. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, we're enemies of God. Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love. He demonstrated how much he cared for us, because while we were still enemies of God, we may not have been following him or anything, he still died for us to save us. Remember the plan God put into action, what we were talking about at the beginning of the talk, or the beginning of the story, that God needed a plan to save us from our sin because our sin had destroyed that relationship with him? Jesus was the answer to this problem. He was the solution. He was the only one that could fix, because Jesus lived a perfect life. He didn't sin. And the Bible says the reason that Jesus died was because the wages of our sin, the result of our sin is death. That's what we deserve. We deserve death because we sin, because we disobey God who created us and who gave us life and who showed us how to live. We deserve death. I mean, that's crazy. Some of you guys are going like, whoa, where are we going with this? But you know what? The significant part of Jesus dying on the cross was he didn't die for himself. He died for you, so that your relationship with God could be restored. He died that horrible death so that you and God could have a relationship again. Isn't that nuts? That's how much God cares for you. God cares for you so much. And you know what? I have a son. And believe me, once you become a dad or a mom, suddenly some of this stuff starts to make a little bit more sense. Because I cannot imagine giving my son up to die for anything. That would be so difficult. But God gave us his only son. This is what John says in chapter 3 of the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish or die, but have eternal life. That doesn't mean that we won't die physically. It means spiritually. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So here's the deal, guys. Is that if you want an answer to the question, does God really care about you? He cared about you so much that he gave his life for you. He thought that you were so valuable that he died for you. He actually died for you. And not just like a quick, easy death either. Horrible, painful death. Like it was awful. But he did it for you. The reason we're having this talk is because we want to discover who God is. And we can't discover who God is unless we know he cares about us. Unless we start believing that he really does care about us and what we're going through. He's not just up there letting you go through whatever you're going through on your own. He's there for you all the time. He's the only one that will never, ever let you down. I'll let you down, your friends will let you down, your parents will let you down, you'll let you down. But God will never let you down. And a lot of you guys have been coming to youth group now for, a year and a bit, and you've been hearing a lot of these talks. And my hope in the talk today, and this is what I was praying for, is that for some of you guys, today would be a day that you could make a decision to follow Jesus. today would be a day that you could have a relationship with God. Because He doesn't just care about you and say, yeah, I cared about you and died for you. He actually wants to be in relationship with you. That's why He died for you. So that you could be in relationship with Him. So if you want to start a relationship with God today, if you want to follow Jesus, then I want you to pray with me, okay? And after, we're going to go to our small groups. And if you decided to follow Jesus this morning or tonight, then you really, really need to tell your leader. And so we can all celebrate. Because the Bible says there's a party in heaven every time somebody decides to follow Jesus. And following Jesus won't get rid of all your problems. But Jesus will always be there for you. Always. You'll never be alone again. Alright, let's pray. And if you want Jesus to come into your life and be the Lord of your life, I want you to pray with me. You can just pray in your heart. You can pray aloud if you want. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I've done a lot of wrong things, and that I really want to have a relationship with You. Dear Jesus, please come into my life. Thank You for dying on the cross for me, because I deserved it, not You. I want to follow You. I want You to be the Lord of my life. Please move into my heart and live inside of me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.